Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for showing up today.
I was going to say, I'm feeling very sprightly, having had a wonderful week away. Well, 4 or 5 days away, but that's fine. I think that's as much of a week away as we can really expect to get at the moment.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thank you for manning the fort and for solo running the podcast last week. It was, I'm sure for many listeners, a breath of fresh air to avoid my rambling and just hear a very focused and really great kind of discussion with yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a sign of madness, isn't it, when you start discussing with yourself? But thankfully it was only for 1 week and now you're back, so sanity has returned.
I know, we're going to avoid talking about football for one more week, because actually I think if I start talking about it now and it all goes wrong, I'll look like an idiot. But hopefully next week we can come to you celebrating the fact that England have done something. I'll say we've done something, don't know what it'll be yet.
Well, we've looked like idiots before, Tom, when we've had great hope and expectation, and then, oh dear, then great sagging shoulders when it hasn't quite worked out. But maybe this is the year. Of course, some of us and some of you listening were alive in 1966, of course. So we already have won victory in our lives. So maybe for post-1966 babies, this is the year.
Well, this is why I was so jubilant last summer, being able to see my own football team finally win the league. So who knows, maybe England might win something in my lifetime. We will find out over the course of the next 5 days. Of course, tonight's the first one, hopefully Sunday the second one. But we'll see. We're not going to dwell any more on it. We're also not going to dwell on the changes that have been announced to our country with the COVID restriction liftings. Is that what it is? The restriction liftings? The removal of restrictions, I think, is probably a better thing to say. We're not going to dwell on those quite yet. We are hoping to be able to update you in the coming week with what it means for us. It does mean what you saw on the news, that the lifting of pretty much all restrictions is happening. But we're still trying to work out how we can make the church be a safe and welcoming place for all people. Not just those of you who are desperate to get back to singing and dancing and kissing one another and all sorts, for everyone who's in our church family. So we'll update you very shortly, but we're not going to dwell on that today. And I think they're the general notices, aren't they?
I think they are. We'll just be a little few more days' patience to see the impact upon us as well. But thank you for your patience, everybody who's listening. And it's been good to be in church, and it was great this Sunday just to see a few new faces, people who hadn't been in church for a very long time, come along, and it was great to gather the family together, isn't it?
And it was great to see bigger groups as well. It was lovely to see people bucking in as groups of six or five, as there were groups of five as well. It's lovely to see bigger groups of people, because I think these are the things that almost just again help to make it feel that little bit more normal. And of course, whilst at the moment we have got in theory 2 weeks of mandatory masks, it still is just feeling that little bit more like the church of old, as it were, which I think there's some aspects of church of old that we do want to go back to, and there's many that we don't. But we're planning to be outdoors this weekend, and we're planning to be outdoors the following weekend as well. The weather forecast is not great at the moment, but of course, on Pentecost Sunday a few weeks ago, the weather forecast was terrible, and yet we were still able to meet outdoors. We couldn't manage it this weekend because it was pouring for the entirety of the service, unrelenting, but I think that was probably a sign from God that we needed to do it indoors for this week for some reason or other. And of course, we're going to be talking a bit about unanswered prayer in a few minutes' time, which, you know, could be a little bit of a thing about why we were indoors this weekend rather than outdoors. But that is our plan. We're going to be outdoors for the next few weeks. We're planning to be outdoors for the whole of summer. But of course, come the 26th of July, 25th of July, there will be a lot of lifting of what we can do indoors, which will be lovely to be able to have that option available and open to us once again.
Yeah, and just this opportunity in it to meet together during the summertime, it'll give us a great time to reconnect with one another, and to regain some confidence as well, and see what happens next, see what God is going to lead us to. And he's been with us all this time, and it's given us opportunities that we didn't know we were going to have But we've had them, and hopefully that's that is never going to stop the work of God, is it? A pandemic. So we keep on looking to him and trusting him and catching up with what it is that he is wanting to do in each of us as individuals as well. But thank you for your continuing encouragement and support. We love getting little emails from you, phone calls from you, just to say what God's doing in your life and how that you're being impacted by that. So thank you for that, and do keep connecting with one another. And if you want to connect with us, then please drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you sometime.
But and of course, our youth group. I was going to say our youth group have been back in relative normalness now.
Yeah.
Since Easter, since just after Easter, we've been able to meet together, and the majority of weeks we've been outdoors. But that's because the weather's been glorious. And even this week, even though it had been unrelenting rain all morning, we were still able to go and play basketball on the car park, which is a sport that we had never played up until this recent time. And of course, it's not a sport that's very easy to do socially distanced, so it's not competitive. Everyone sort of stands in a big semicircle, and we all sort of just shoot at it and talk with each other whilst we're there. But it's lovely to be able to get back. And this weekend, we've got even more normalness coming along by the fact that we've got a pizza and film night. Whoop, whoop. So that's going to be a fun thing for us to be able to do. And we're really looking forward to, again, what just more normal things. But if you're thinking a pizza and film night, that doesn't sound like something that we want in our church. Well, let me just say, that's a social week. But we have been looking at the topic of prayer for the last 3 weeks before this. And a few weeks ago, I was able to talk to you about our introduction to prayer and the importance of keeping praying. We used the thing from Pete Gregg about keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. So I hope if you've been listening along to our podcast that you've been able to use that as a great encourager over the past few weeks, and a reminder to keep praying. And last week, if I'd been here, I'm sure we could have talked a bit about answered prayer, because that was what we did at the youth group a couple of weeks ago. And it was great to be able to talk about moments when all of us have seen prayers answered. And one of the reasons why we kind of want to share answered prayers with each other is because it's kind of works a bit like a chain reaction at times. Because when you hear someone who shares about an answered prayer, what that does is triggers more prayer. And when more prayer happens, more answers to prayer happen. And it's really important for us to remember how God has answered our prayers. And it's really important for us to hear stories of how he's answered other people's prayers in order to encourage us to keep praying regularly. Again, Pete Gregg from 24/7 Prayer describes the fuel of prayer as being answered prayer. It's like you're stoking a fire when you pray and when you hear answered prayers. And for lots of people, when you hear a story of an answered prayer, it makes you kind of say, I want to have a go at that. You know, if it's worked for this person, then it can work for me. And it was really just so cool to hear some of the things that the young people said that had been moments when their prayers had been answered. And we've taken over one of the giant Jenga sets from church, not the really giant one, the sort of mid-sized one, with nice wooden blocks that are perfect for writing on in felt tip pen. And we've just started to kind of try and encourage the youth to write down some of their answered prayers. And I haven't got the Jenga tower with me right now, so I can't say what they are. And I think some of it is that some of those prayers might be a bit private, and if they've turned them in on the Jenga tower, then that means that they're an answered prayer, but you know, maybe it's not public. I don't know. But the short of it is that we were able to generate kind of 16 or 17, I think, answered prayers just from the small group of us that we were like, yeah, God has totally answered that. And I think it's this thing where everyone, if you've prayed in your life, I'm sure that every single person has a prayer that has been answered. And of course, you can say it's down to consequences and all this kind of thing. But the reality of it is, as the Pope or the monk in... Oh, I'm getting it all mixed up here, aren't I? On the Alpha Course, when he says that I find that when I pray, consequences happen. I think it's a really powerful thing for us to remember that God is in control of everything. And so the encouragement that comes from this session that we did on answered prayer for the whole church family is that if you have even just one answered prayer story, one moment that you can say, I prayed about this and God answered it. God surprised me and he made what I was asking for happen. Then I would urge you to share it with other people. Tell it again and again and again. Have the boldness to share it in front of church if we run testimony times. Because the stories of answered prayer that we have are the fuel for other people to keep going in their prayer. And there's stories in the Bible, aren't there? There's so many moments of answered prayer that we read that serve as an encouragement for us. We see Hannah praying for a baby in 1 Samuel. I don't know why that was what came to me, but it was. And you've got just so many stories. Tim, I'm putting you on the spot. Can you think of a story of answered prayer in the Bible?
Well, I think... oh, well, there is something.
I put you on the spot here, sorry.
Elijah, do you remember, when he had the big battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and they both set up their altars, didn't they? And Elijah set up the altar and then prayed to God, send the fire, and God sent the fire. Because that was a big moment. It was him against all the prophets of Baal, and he'd set it up beautifully, but... he was so confident that God was going to answer his prayer. He doused the whole altar with water even, didn't he? Which may have been a help in the long run as lightning struck it. But it seemed a crazy thing to do, to cover it in water if you wanted to set it on fire. But he had a massive one. And Jonah as well, of course. He prayed very earnestly in the belly of the big fish. And God took him back to where he was running away from. So some answers to prayer are a little bit tricky, aren't they? Because they're not quite what we hoped they would be.
Of course.
I'm sure Jonah would have loved to have ended up back home, but he ended up back in Nineveh. But he was obedient to what God wanted, even if reluctantly. So it's a mystery, isn't it? It is a mystery. It has to be a mystery, of course. But because we're part of God's plan, it's part of God's purposes. And our prayers according to his will and purposes get a bit mixed up at times, but... But I think if we approach prayer confident, of course, believing that God is hearing our prayers, then I think we can be bold in our praying as well.
And this links back into the Joshua story that we looked at for 10 weeks, a few weeks back, and especially in Joshua 4, where in a way the prayer of the Israelites is answered. They gain safe passage across the raging River Jordan. And what do they do next? I'm not going to challenge you this time. Can you remember what happened next to him? I know you know. They take the stones from the river and they make an altar as a place of being able to remember what has happened, remember that God fulfilled his promises. And I guess I hadn't really thought about this too much until now, but I guess that's what we're doing with our Jenga blocks, isn't it? We're remembering the promises that God has fulfilled. We're remembering those moments when we've given everything up to God about whatever this is, and God answered our prayers in often remarkable ways. And so the Israelite people made an altar which was a place to approach God, and it was a place that they said the generations after them were able to look and see that God had brought them through. And I think that, yeah, this all comes into creating this bigger picture of when God answers prayers, it's really, really, really important for us to encourage other people with them, to share these moments that we have of when God's answered prayer, because you don't know what other people are going through. And I suppose some of that comes on to what we did on Sunday night, which, if prayers are answered, then that generally means that there's also been prayers that are unanswered, because otherwise, if we were always talking about how God answered every single prayer we have, then it sort of starts to diminish a little bit of what prayer is. There's an example I can remember from a while back hearing where they say that if every time a Christian dropped a hammer, it didn't land on their toe because God performed an amazing miracle on it, what you'd end up with was a load of floating hammers. And it was a curious little thing, but actually it kind of got me thinking. And this is why answered prayers are so important, because they can serve as an encourager to those people who perhaps their prayers haven't always been answered. And that was it is more difficult. I don't want anyone to think for one minute that it's a really easy topic to get your head around, because it isn't. And when prayers aren't answered, it can be really painful, can't it?
And I think yes, and it can actually shift our understanding of who God is, doesn't it? Because I think unanswered prayer can skew our our view of God, in we start thinking that he's reluctant. Do you know, he's a reluctant God. He doesn't want to give me what I ask for, you know. And Jesus told that parable, didn't he, of the persistent widow, do you know, who goes knocking on the neighbour's door. And there's also one about who knocks on the judge's door because she wants justice, you know. She keeps on going and going and going. And then eventually he gives her justice, you know. And I think we can use that and think, well, God, we've just got to keep on and on and on to God, because God doesn't really want to answer our prayers. But of course, you know, we know in the bigger picture of Scripture is that God does want to answer our prayers, you know. But we've got this dilemma that actually they're not all answered either in the way that we want them to be or in the timescales we think they should be answered as well.
And it's really important for us to wrestle with this, for us to sometimes ask the question of why has this prayer not been answered? Because if we just go down this route of thinking, well, I didn't expect it to work in the first place, or God doesn't want to answer this question because XYZ reason, then we're really starting to doubt God's power. And what we have to sometimes ask ourselves is, why has God answered this question, this prayer that I have, but he hasn't answered this other one? Because actually, if God has answered a prayer, then that should, I would hope, prove that God is real and God does answer prayer. And so it makes it almost even more difficult when it's like, well, why hasn't God answered answered this prayer of mine? And of course, let's not forget that Jesus lived with unanswered prayer. Jesus is, the night before Jesus died, Jesus was praying, is there any other way this can be done? You know, I'm not ready for this. And I think that's a very direct prayer from Jesus saying, look, I don't want this to happen. But ultimately, at the end of that prayer, what does Jesus say? Your will be done, kind of thing.
And I think this answer prayer issue can actually hurt us as the prayers, because we start thinking we're not good enough to earn God's answer. You know, we start thinking, well, what have I done wrong? You know, and so we get on our knees and we confess every sin we can think about and everyone we can't think about, but we must have done. And so, yeah, we think somehow we've got to earn his attention or earn his favour, you know, and that unanswered prayer is a sign of his disfavour or his dissatisfaction with us. But again, you know, the Bible story doesn't say that at all. You know, what we know about God, about what Jesus did, you know, there's no punishment. Unanswered prayer is not a punishment to me. You know, it's about, what am I going to learn through this? What is God trying to teach me through this? And then, you know, how does God want to use me through this? You know, and maybe there's we learn a slightly different way of approaching that prayer, you know, or becoming confident in that God's timing is actually better than our timing. You know, I know someone, you know, prayed for years and years and years and years for their husband, you know, to come to faith. It was literally years, you know. And yet there, you know, and then eventually he did come to faith. But there are other people who, you know, it seems to take a moment, you know.
There are people who that never comes true
for. No, never comes true for, exactly.
And this is one of those things that is really hard, because when it feels like it's, in a way, a literal matter of life and death, and this applies to medical scenarios too, this applies to all things, we sort of get to this almost point of desperation, and what that can often lead to in many people is unbelief, saying that, well, God hasn't done this, and therefore I find it hard to believe. Whereas I think I'd argue that unanswered prayer instead has to become for us a form of faith. It's an opportunity for us to question God on these things. Why? Not I don't believe because it hasn't. Because actually there's so many times when there aren't going to be easy answers to these questions. Because often the things that we're asking that often seem unanswered, they are generally some of the more difficult things. And it's curious, isn't it, how we find God maybe doesn't answer some of the really big things, but what that makes us lose sight of is the fact that God's answered so many of the little things. But it's just an incredibly tricky thing. And we got the youth to write down just one unanswered prayer that they have. And we got them to write down one kind of also big unanswered prayer. So something that they wish was different. So not a prayer they've been praying, but something that, whether it's climate change, COVID, etc., all of these different things, we got them to write down one big thing that is almost too big to even think about. And then we got them to silently pray for those things once through, And then we said, all we want you to do is now write down at the bottom of your two things that you've put down, your will be done. And just pray it through again and add on your will be done to the end of it. And we can't promise that answers are going to come from those things. All we can do is pray about them and lift them up to God. And there may be times when people can come along with prophetic words and say, God's going to answer this. And when those things happen, it's the most wonderful thing. But as you said, for so many people, your prayers don't get answered. And you're left thinking, you're left in this really tough spot. And I can remember standing up at the front of church a few years back, kind of talking almost quite vulnerably about this sort of thing and saying that all I can know in those moments when things are really tricky is that God is with me, because I'm not often seeing answers to prayer. We prayed repeatedly for my granddad whilst he was in hospital, but he never got better. And that's the reality for lots of different people. But what I did know during that time was that God was with me and God was with him. And I guess in the way, that's the will that God had at that point. God wanted us to know his comfort and his peace. But for whatever reason, the passageway that my granddad took was not to get better. And, you know, there is great sadness that comes. But actually, we really do need to grow from these moments. And we need to be saying, okay, so what is God saying to me during this period of time? You C.S. Lewis, I love C.S. Lewis. He's a wonderful writer. And there's something that he said that we used that was part of, we've been using a video series on the Sunday evenings to talk about these, but a quote that came up in the video was that C.S. Lewis said this: nothing can seem extraordinary until you have discovered what is ordinary. And I think that's something for us to all remember, is that we're in God's world. If we believe God's in control of everything, then actually God has got a handle on all of the things that are going on. And we're not going to always understand it. But what we need to do is rejoice in those moments that are extraordinary, because they're worthy to be rejoiced. And we need to almost become content with the ordinary and see God in the everyday things that we're doing.
I think it's this, you know, this overriding sense of who God is. You know, we spoke a bit on Sunday, you know, God is love. I mean, what a statement, three words, you know, in that one John chapter 4. God is love. You know, that's a statement of confidence. And actually, even in the midst of unanswered prayer, God is love. You know, we can't get away from that.
There's a promise. The final words of the Bible, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Yeah. God's silence isn't the same as God's absence. We really have to remember these things, that even when our prayers don't seem like they're working and God seems a million miles away from where we are, we really have to remember that. And I've not made that, I should say, that's not a quote of Tom Watts, God's silence is not the same as his absence. That is absolutely stolen from what we did on Sunday night as a youth group. But I just think it's such a powerful thing to remember, that God is love. All things work together for good for those who love God. So God loves us. We should love God. And we need to remember that God doesn't ever leave us, even though things can seem really tricky. And the best example of that, Tim, is looking around our church. And for all the thing of me loving spending time with my peers and people who are my age, if you speak to folk who are older, and I'm going to say, Tim, older even than you.
I know, I knew.
There are plenty of people out there who are much older. But these are people who've been through life. They've seen so much. They saw 1966, Tim. And yet, through all of that, they're still rejoicing and trusting God. You see something that's even better than faith. You see faithfulness. And I don't think we'll ever learn what it means to be truly faithful until we live through these moments of unanswered prayer, when we have to take that step of faith to still trust in God, even though it doesn't make sense. Because what we see in that whole kind of experience is God's faithfulness to us. And the fact that, I guess, ultimately, God wins. And we can't always picture exactly how that looks, but God has already won the battle for us. And we need to really remember that. We need to grab a hold of that, and we need to not lose sight of the fact that God has already done immeasurably more than we can imagine for each of us. And there's the quote in the Bible, isn't there? I'm not going to say I know where it is. I'm sorry, I should have looked it before. I should have done my research. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we have our true hope in Jesus. I've butchered that verse, but
it's
along those lines.
The Tom Watts version is fine.
It's along those lines. I should quickly Google it now.
You've absolutely touched on the thing that, you know, persevere in prayer, keep on praying those prayers. You know, don't stop praying. You know, don't stop trusting that God is going to be the one who hears them, because of this ultimate hope that we have in who Jesus is and what he's done. Tom, finish with the quote. Finish with it. Come on.
1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. And this, of course, is talking about death, but it applies to so much more. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And that applies to death. That applies to every single thing in our lives. All of the unanswered prayers that come along. Because actually, we have to remember that love won. And God will always win, in a way, for us. God has won the battle. And what we have to do is trust in him. Trust in his goodness. Keep praying. It's not a fruitless activity. It's something that God always listens to our prayers, and God will always be responding to our prayers in one form or another. Remember that amazing quote, God's silence is not the same as his absence, and keep trusting in him. Even when we have unanswered prayer, we can still have faith.
Brilliant.
We said before this, Tim, we were going to try and keep this down to 15 minutes.
Well, we've done like part one and part two all in one week.
Yeah, we've done 2 weeks worth of stuff. So if you cut it in half, then that's it's about the right amount of time.
No, it's brilliant. It's so encouraging that you're talking about this stuff with the young people.
We have to
just give them confidence. You know, right at the very beginning, and particularly those who perhaps are going to move on into, you know, college and then into universities, to have this sort of foundation, this confidence that they can find in very different environments, but still have this real steel in them, really, that this is still true, whatever is going to happen. So well done to you and the others who are involved in that, Tom, and for using this material, which perhaps we as adults ought to be using at some point as well, and could be really encouraging for us too. So thank you. Nice to have you back on the podcast, Tom.
Thank you for allowing me to come back on.
Good. Well, have a great week, everybody.
Are we praying before the end?
Definitely.
I feel
we'll
like we probably
pray.
Should.
We'll definitely be praying.
We should pray.
And if there's anything you want us to pray for, any of you listening, we'd love to join you in your prayers. And some of those prayers, maybe you've been praying for a long time. If you want to share them with us, then please do, and we'd love to add them. We won't go public with them unless you are happy for that to happen, but if you'd like Tom and me to pray for them, then we'd love to do that, so to join you in some of those prayers, and let's see what God has in store. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God of love, and that we can approach you with confidence. We can come into the holy place through the curtain that was torn in two because of your death, Jesus, on the cross. I just want to imagine that moment, the moment you died, and that thick curtain was torn from top to bottom, and there was opportunity to come into your presence. So help us never to take that for granted, that hard-won opportunity that we have every day to come and talk to you, and you long to listen to us. So thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come with all that is on our minds, the things that we think are impossible, that you make possible, the things that we think are possible and yet in some way they are not answered yet. But I pray you'll keep us faithful to who you are and continue to trust you with all confidence. Thank you for the hope that we have because of Jesus. May that hope continue to fill us. It will never disappoint us, and we can again just come to you and as your children. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Have a absolutely wonderful week. Hopefully you're able to enjoy the television tonight, and if you're not interested in football, then find something else to watch. God bless you. We look forward so much to seeing you on Sunday, whether you're joining us in person or online. And if there is anything, Tim, you've said this so many times. What's the email address they can get in touch with us through?
Oh, thank you, Tom. I thought you'd never ask. Enquiry, E-N-Q-U-I-R-Y, at newcastlebaptist.org.uk.
Get in touch with us if there's anything at all that we can help out with, or if you just want to share a story you have of answered prayer. Maybe you have a moment of unanswered prayer that you just want an extra few people to pray about. Get in touch with us. But until then, God bless you, and we'll see you at the weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.